Parkinson's was not a fire that Joyce and I could put out, but we could work on my denial. The first step was for me, at long last, to claim my Parkinson's diagnosis, to own it instead of continuing to let it own me. Acceptance didn't come without flashes of anger and sieges of pain, psychic as well as physical. Joyce reminds me that when my left arm would tremor violently during sessions, I would punch it with my clenched fist, sometimes pummeling it until I raised bruises. Within weeks of beginning my work with Joyce, I went, at her prompting, to see a new internist, Dr. Bernard Kruger in Manhattan. He referred me to Dr. Alan Roper, a top neurologist in Boston. I scheduled an appointment, and the first week of February 1994, took a shuttle flight up to meet him in his office. The sort of doctor whose bearing automatically conveys both authority and reassurance, Alan Roper is one of the co-authors of Principles of Neurology, a doorstop of a book that is the neurologist's Bible. Dr. Roper conducted his examination, then we sat down in his office to talk. He wrote out some new prescriptions. He had some ideas about different medications and how to titrate them in order to maximize their benefits and smooth out the transitions. He explained the reasons for many of the symptoms I'd long contended with, gave terms to tics and behaviors that I hadn't even realized were part of the disease. The fact that I was experiencing symptoms only on my left side was typical, he said. The initial stage of Parkinson's disease is almost always asymmetric or unilateral, though inevitably the symptoms will spread to the other side. Dr. James Parkinson himself noted this phenomenon when he first described the disease in 1817. All of this information helped me see the disease itself as a fact apart from my own experience with it. I was not an anomaly. All this was happening to others, too. And while I gained no particular satisfaction from that, it did help me understand that it wasn't personal. I found comfort in my conversation with Dr. Roper. For one thing, he forthrightly addressed that prognosis I'd received when first diagnosed, that I had 10 good years left to work, a deadline that, I was acutely aware, meant that by now I was down to 7. Dr. Roper dismissed the whole notion of a timetable, except to say that all indications suggested mine was likely to be a slow progression, given that the other cardinal features, like rigidity, were still minor relative to the tremors on my left side. Pre-Joyce, pre-Roper, my unarticulated belief was that by thinking about Parkinson's, I was hastening its arrival. It was as if I could choose between staying in the past where PD didn't exist, or a future where I would be overwhelmed by it. If I can't fix it, I don't even want to talk about it. As a personal doctrine, this one is seriously flawed, but carried into a marriage, it is pure poison. Sadly, I thought I was doing Tracy a favor. After all, there was no way she could do anything about my illness, so why burden her by talking about it? Questions like, does my being sick make you afraid? Are you disappointed that I'm different now from when you married me? Are you worried about the future? Would you love me if you knew that I'm afraid? I'm disappointed. I'm worried about the future. All went unasked. But that didn't stop me from filling in the blanks myself. Tracy's answers, as I imagined them, devastated me. It was unfair for me to assume the worst. She hadn't left me. How could I look past that? But in my war with PD, the first casualty had been trust. No one was to blame for my disease, not even myself, yet it still left me with a sense of betrayal. And in time, I came to project that onto everyone else, even the person closest to me. I was beginning to understand how unfair this was. I think it was when that huge, sad silence was finally breached late that spring that I realized the work I'd been doing with Joyce and the progress I'd made in beginning to accept my diagnosis had brought a sea change to my life. It's impossible to attribute this reawakening to a specific breakthrough or insight. I didn't suddenly burst out of a cocoon of fear. Neither was it a linear progression, an easily followed map of self-rediscovery. As Joyce might say, it all came down to showing up for my life and doing the work. This is how Tracy remembers those first few months of 1994, the gradual change in my outlook. Your hopefulness came back, your sense of humor. Everything wasn't so thick with tension. You weren't so angry all the time. It was like this wall just started to crumble, and you weren't trying to build it back up again. Late one spring afternoon, as we sat on the grass watching Sam lead a younger cousin on a chase through the butterfly bushes in their grandmother's Connecticut garden, Tracy smiled at me and said, "Sam's gonna love being a big brother."